We begin our class tonight in the name of the Holy Trinity, God transcendent, God omnipresent, God immanent, the Holy Dwelling Spirit within us. We feel our feet on the floor, our bodies in the chair. We become aware of breath, heartbeat. We breathe into any tension we're feeling in our bodies. We relax our toes and feet. Legs, arms and hands, shoulders, small muscles of the face. Remembering that we have a body. Feeling present in all its parts. Feeling sensation on the outside of our skin, the sensations taking place inside our bodies. We notice any feelings that are present, emotions. Any thoughts that are going through our intellectual center? What is sitting in the chair today? Who are you? Do you know why you're here? Do you have a name? Can you feel gratitude in this moment for the car that brought you here? For all the people on the roads that stayed in their lanes. For the rain, for the cool temperatures. For this sacred place, this sacred earth, this universe, our God that sustains us. It's a miracle that we are here. And God, we wish to work. We wish to open. We wish to hear with joy everything that is shared tonight. To see the goodness in it all. Thank you for bringing us here. And in this place of relaxation and awareness, we listen to scripture from the liturgy of the morning. This is from Luke. We listen for work ideas or anything that touches us in this passage. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. Amen. Good evening. Thank you for being here at class. My name is Beverly. So, what did you hear in that? What spoke to you? Tamara.
So when I first started at CCH, Tim would talk about how just transforming ourselves will help transform the universe. And I thought, that doesn't make any sense. And so then I read about what Ilya Delia talks about, how our consciousness is spread out, you know, and especially the study that I read about, it was mice, I think, that learned how to get through a maze, or monkeys, I don't remember, but anyways, then on the other side of the world, the same experiment, and they caught on to it immediately. Right, and so they're saying that there is some sort of a sharing consciousness, like something we learn, it shares out to the universe.
Yes.
And then I finally got it, you know. I thought, well, then it is important for me to work on myself. And so when I heard this, it reminded me of that. And it reminded me that when I non-identify and self-remember, and I work on myself, and I observe myself, that it is helping. You know, I finally realize in my own way I might be helping. Excuse me. Even if I can't go out there and just solve all the world's problems, you know, which I actually just, I know we all do, we just want to go out there and solve them, because we see them and it's upsetting, you know. This is a comforting passage to me, because I know that what we're doing is important, and it makes me know that I can keep working.
Yes, thank you.
I equate the Spirit of the Lord with the work. The work has got me, and the direction of the arrows have changed. Essence is becoming active, and false personality is becoming passive, and so therefore everything looks different. The light is coming on, and that's giving space and freedom to all the poor parts of my personality that have been in the dark and not willing to work, and that is the good news. And when that happens and there's non-identification with what's going on, then that is freedom and living in the kingdom. And so I hear the forces changing, the third force changing, and mm-hmm. There's where that goodwill comes in.
Thank you. Duberly? Back behind you, Catherine, just keep sending it back. Martin, behind you. Oh, there we go.
I heard a year acceptable to the Lord. It probably doesn't talk about calendar, or doesn't mean calendar years, but trying to remember where I was a year ago. And how much freer I feel because of the work, because of you all. How much more I can see without trying to see, just being and understanding things, that just accepting things the way they are instead of trying to change them so much. And I think a year from now, you know, my prayer is to make it acceptable to work, to come here, be with you all.
Amen. Thank you. I heard goodness in this. This total goodness. That proclaiming goodness to all those parts of me that are still in captivity and are poor, that are blind and oppressed. And it's like Jill said, it's the work that does that. Work that works us. Anything else? Okay. Thank you for your sharing. All right, so the homework was to continue to study three forces, but to see goodwill in all of it. Not to see second force as bad, but to see the good of it all. So what was your experience with that this week? How did you see that? One of those nights, huh? Tamara.
So my work partner and I have been pondering this. And to me, I think last week when I was here, I was thinking that it need be some sort of bold, you know, statement of goodwill, you know. But then we started thinking about it, and, you know, just I decided my goodwill will be in to try to be less negative. And I thought, that's, you know, because I know that my sits are goodwill, because it was really helpful when Lori was talking about that last week. there's so many things that we do that are goodwill.
Yes.
And there can be little things, you know. And so instead of trying to solve the world's problems, that being your goodwill, and staying up at night saying, how can I fix all these things, and and have the first force and the second force and third force, I decided to not to identify with negative thoughts. So I started doing that, and I felt really light. It was really wonderful. And you know, with two kids in college, and there's always another, you know, drama or something going on. I was able to handle them so much better, just with love and understanding, and not giving a lot of second force, because, you know, sometimes the third force comes in, and it just well, actually, it always does. It manifests through the third force, but, you know, sometimes they don't want to be where they are, or they just don't think that they can do it, or they can't hack it, whatever is going through them at the moment. I tried to not identify with, you know, that situation, and self-remember, and tried to pass that on to them, and I just felt so much lighter instead of trying to just solve it, you know. I can solve it. No. I said, you know what? This is going to work out, you know. God's got this. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then sure enough, next few days come around and it all gets solved without us having any participation in that. So it's a wonderful thing to be able to see that, but then also just to be able to not identify with these things that are going on, and to self-remember and to kind of not too, you know, I can't press them into doing the same thing, but it's almost like just exhibiting it and just practicing it, that it brings a much more Christ-like relationship for them, you know, mm-hmm. to have that. So I have been practicing not having negative thoughts, and that's been a real blessing for me.
So is it that there are no negative thoughts, or that you're not focusing on them?
Right. So there are negative thoughts.
Yeah.
But I'm just not attaching to them.
Yes.
I'm hearing them, I'm acknowledging them, but I'm not attaching to them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, our attention is what gets stuck if we do get identified with them. Identification is that, the attention being there. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. And you're modeling, you're being a model for your children. That is a blessing for them. Martin?
So we've been working on the three forces for several weeks now, and when we started this assignment, I was having a lot of trouble identifying first and second force and trying to isolate it within myself and says this is just completely a contained first force, when actually I had first and second going on a lot in my head, and of course I got nowhere with that. It would just, you know, whatever. I'm gonna do this. Oh, no, I can't do that. Oh, it's too expensive. Oh, no. And then nothing happens. But then bringing in the goodwill aspect of it helped a lot to isolate into either first or second force and have the other side of that be outside of me. So an example of that was this week, and it kind of came up on me, and with the hydraulics that are now going on with the Colorado River, we have some relationship with a marina close to on Lake Travis, and Tuesday morning I was just noticing that the water was just coming up like a foot and a half an hour, and I know that there's an extreme effort to, you know, loss of property, and it's very dangerous for people doing that. So I felt this in my body. I felt, and I talked to my work partner about this, but I felt this real urge to go down there and help them. I'm a customer, but I just felt I really wanted to go and assist in what was going on. So I went there, and of course I was met with some second force. No, we're fine, Martin. You know, it's complicated. I said, well, how many of you are here? And he said, about eight of us. And I said, okay, that's good. You guys hungry? And he goes, oh, we're fine, Martin. So I just kind of kept with it, and I felt that first force in me, and it felt very in my body. And it felt really like goodwill that was wanted to really just help them. And there wasn't any opposition in my mind, or I wasn't intellectually trying to just like take accounts or anything like that. So I just got a cooler of water and a bag of tacos. I came back and said, here, you know, you guys take this and hope it helps out, and just left. I don't know what really the third force will manifest out of that. It may be something great. I did go back and I was thanked profusely for it, but anyway, it just felt good, and it felt very isolated first force that it was coming from my body. I really felt the feeling was there, and it was, so that kept it stable, you might say, and clearly without having to you know, in my mind say, oh, those tacos are too expensive, or no, they don't want it, or you know, you're just making a fool of you know, all those things. It just, there wasn't any of that. Just go, do it. And it felt very goodwill.
It sounds three-centered.
It very was, but yes. It started with my body.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. The feeling, that urge.
Hmm. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Gay, let's use this microphone on this side.
In trying to identify...
I think you need to turn it up.
In trying to identify the three forces, I had an event a few days ago. And I had to work backwards from this. after it was all said and done and the dust settled, that I could see third force. I couldn't exactly see first or second, but the event itself had to do with a mistake that I made in an email, and it affected a group of people adversely. The email was sent in good faith, so I'm thinking, even though the books I'm reading about the three forces pretty much describe first force as what I want, second force is the forces or the force that prevents that wish or that want from happening as I see it should be. So, my first reaction when I discovered that I had really messed up was there were all kinds of emotions that went through: embarrassment, shame, humiliation. And there was a time when those would have hung around for quite a while. And this, I think, is where third force began to come in. And when I actually observed as the observing eye separated from that, from those emotions of embarrassment, and I clearly saw how everything that happens is for my transformation, and it changed everything. So I don't know if... So the change then is a gradual one, I think. I mean, there were still the old familiar reactions, but they didn't just make me feel shame. You know, it was, I would say, within a couple of hours they were gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm presuming that is an example. I'm not clear about how first and second force would be identified in that situation. But the what I could see is the change in my being through the work. Yes. So I would say that the third force clearly had something to do with the work.
Yeah, it sounds like the work was third force.
But what about first and second force?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anybody want to comment on that? See that clearly?
Perhaps if I could... Something just came to me. Perhaps it's... The false personality's wish to look good. The mistake really brought the first force of false personality to its knees briefly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's the best I can do.
Well, it's good to keep exploring that. Yeah. To see what you can see in it. Around it almost sounds like there's a couple of triads there, not just one.
Well, yes, and what Laurie has said several times is that these forces can change places.
Yes, that's what it sound. Yes, that's what it was sounding like. So, because you had an intention first to send this email, then there was the second force of the reaction, and then you reacted to the reaction, right? And then, yeah.
So what I do see is my work friend and I were talking about this on the trip to class tonight. It's it's pretty easy to read about this in the book and think you understand it.
and then to try to really apply it to situations.
Yes.
It gets kind of sticky.
Yeah, some are clear, but you're right. You're right. It is. Thank you. Anyone else have challenges with that too? Greta, do you want to? This one over here. Okay, go ahead and try. It's this microphone here, Ted. Try it.
I didn't really have a challenge with this, yeah. But it was interesting to observe, and luckily it was totally goodwill. I had been looking to this week for a number of massages that I do. I mean, I rely on my income for the massages that I give, and I had a whole Friday booked with quilting ladies and 2-hour massages with this one and that one, and Monday I found out that the Friday massage booking had been completely canceled, and so I thought, that'll give me a good time to clean out and change over for winter in my massage room. And then there was cancellation on Tuesday and Tuesday night and yesterday, and then I used all that time to do what I had intended to do on Friday. And then I ended up working till after 9 o'clock last night because, it was raining and it was hard for people to get to my house. And I used that as an opportunity to close up shop and go to bed early. Mm-hmm. And it's just been really wonderful because the woman who I had that whole day booked with, the quilting lady, she said, I'm really sorry that this happened. And I said, no, it was second force to my original intention, but, it opened up possibilities, a wealth of possibilities that I'm still working on and I will still be working on tomorrow.
Yes.
And It reminded me of something that I'm going to paraphrase that Tim said, which is, easy is the life for the woman who has no preferences.
Yes.
So I was extremely grateful for all of that and the goodwill that was around all of it.
Yes. Yes, your own goodwill and outer goodwill that resulted from that. So what I was hearing that there wasn't any interior second force coming from you.
Yeah, right. It was mostly exterior force.
Right. And it could have been, it could have been this, oh my God, easy to go there, right? Maybe you've had that experience before. And so, yeah, I mean, what a gift, right? You can, and then when we can non-identify like that, and it sounds like non-identification was the third force, right? That it just, then you just go on to the next thing, and all, like you said, all the possibilities open up. So it's manifestations from those three forces then, who knows what? Lots of possibilities. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Jenna, right behind you.
Sort of a little bit along those same lines. Today, I got up as I always do, and I walked the dog for, 30 to 40 minutes. And I come back, and Lee's there, and we do our sit and whatnot. So today, I go out for my walk, and Lee had a doctor's appointment early, and he left. And I come home, and I never take my keys because he's always there. And I tried the door, and it was locked. And I texted Lee, who was at the doctor, and said, is there a spare key anywhere? He's like, no. So it was the work. It was like, okay, we checked with a neighbor across the street who's got a key, but of course, no answer. They weren't there. And we have a screened-in porch in the back, and I have a blanket out there, down blanket. I thought, well, he's not going to be there that long. I'm just going to go around back. There's a doggy door that's kind of small, but I thought, well, I think I can get through it. If my dog, my 75-pound dog, can get through it, I should be able to get through it. So I did. And so we're in the porch, and we're comfortable, and then I thought, well, there's another door into the house with a... there's also another doggy door that's smaller than the first one, and that has a lock thing on it from the inside. But I already know I'm okay now because I can sit down. I'm just missing my coffee, but everything else was good. And I thought, well, I maybe can get through the other door. So I went over to the other door, and I was able to get the little door thing up, and I got through. And I'm in. I'm like, this is great. And how often do you feel this is great when you get in your house?
Good point.
And it was so funny because I was absolutely, all I could think of was man doesn't do, because I was absolutely content to be out there with the blanket around me. I had my phone so I could read the news on my phone and wait till Lee got home. And this is not me 10 years ago. I would have, you know, mm-hmm. I would have been blaming or angry or frustrated or whatever, and it was just all just, okay, this is what I'm dealing with. And then the added benefit of actually being able to get into the house, which I just totally, that was just kind of a, oh, let me just try this, I'm just so grateful for the sits, for this program, for having the choice of not to identify or not. And the interesting one on this one was that I didn't even think about this one. I just didn't identify.
Yeah.
So it was fun.
Yeah, very similar to Greta's experience.
Yes.
Thank you, Jenna. Yeah, and you got creative.
Yeah.
Tried going through a dog door. You probably 3 days ago would have thought, what? Never would have even thought about it. So, yeah, great. Thank you. I had an interesting experience this morning. I woke up with a lot of second force, internal second force. It's around a lot of things, I think, but mostly around this class and feeling like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I haven't prepared all this. Oh, my gosh. And I looked at everything else because I'm leaving town on Tuesday. And I'm like, the world just looked, it looked like I felt like I was underneath the weight of the world. Nothing looked very good. And there was this anxiety in my gut over preparing for tonight, and as if I'm doing anything, you know. She thought she was at that point. And so I'm just walking around, and then I decide to go upstairs, and I just happened to grab this article that I had picked up, or Lori had, I had gone to Lori's group on Monday night, and her work group, and she had given out an article. And so I just took it upstairs thinking, well, maybe this will give me some inspiration, you know, and I'm feeling this anxiety. I sit down, and the article's about urgency and feeling, we have to do something. You know, it's all about, how, this. It was more related to action in the world for
problems in the world, but just, and I just thought that was so funny that, and then it just, all of a sudden, that woke me up, and it was, oh, okay, this is fine, I'm feeling this urgency, this is funny, okay, it's a God wink, hello, you know, it was just, so it felt to me like there was all this second force. I'm not sure where, it's kind of like, you're gay, where's, I mean, my first, I was wanting to prepare for the class, my first force, but the second force was a lot stronger, and to me it was grace that came in. Was third force. I was not really working in that moment, or I didn't feel like I was. I think this went out. Is it on? Okay. All right. Everything shifted, and the world looked totally different. I mean, I started just looking at how I had been looking at the same things. And I looked at them again with these new eyes, and it looked totally different. It's like, oh, okay, this is, I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking for it instead of, oh no, I just can't. So sometimes it's just, grace just comes in, and that becomes second force. So I was grateful for that experience. It was interesting. Who else? How about experiences with feeling the goodness, goodwill? Catherine, thank you.
In the commentary we read, there was a series of suggestions about ways you could apply this practically, and so one of them kind of jumped out at me, which was struggling against expressing negative emotions in the face of someone you mechanically dislike. And my husband and I had argued quite a bit lately, and so I don't dislike him, but I dislike the argumentative eyes, so I adapted it that way. And so my aim to struggle against it was to not express it. Then when something comes at me from another person's expression, then the second force is the I that says, but that's not right. You need to stand your ground or express your opposition or express, you know, some self-defense of a different point of view, you know, there would that. So the second force was that, and then it would just go, you know, his force, my force, his force, my force, and the second, the forces in me that were trying to keep my aim versus lose my aim and give in to the negative emotions were those internal pieces going back and forth. When I had moments where I was able to not express something that did come through my mind as a thought, and the work that we did in the anger work group was very helpful about the Byron Katie. Sounds a little bit like seeing it a new way, but questioning whether that thought is true. Mm-hmm. So the idea that some expression in my wish to respond might not even be true to say what I was planning to say. But so my sense of first and second force is that like an argument, it just can go on forever and there's no resolution because life is the third force. Yes. Our sleeping people, yes, are the third force. When there was any reconciling of goodwill, it would be love or a wish for peace that would hold me to that intention to not speak something that I could see was just going to continue the ping pong experience after that. So, in a way, just remembering my aim is an effort of goodwill, since the aim is to stay related and not to get into petty back and forth stuff.
Yeah, and I would say just making that aim is goodwill, right? Even wanting to make that aim. So, yeah, started with goodwill. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Anyone else have a reaction in reading that commentary with the term struggle against? Or is that just me? I don't know. I'm in a place these days that if you go against anything, if you're pushing, you're just, you know, you're going to get resistance. It feels like there's just another way to be with it instead of struggling such ever. I just have this picture of, oh, you have to struggle, and it's so hard. Really? I don't know. Duberly. Need this microphone here.
Notice that the struggle comes from a different center that I than the one that I should be using to do something. If I'm going to work out, there's no reason why my emotional center should be involved when I'm working out, but there's a struggle in there if my emotional center is involved.
So you see that as an emotion in the negative part of emotional center? Is that?
Yeah, I can't say that I have positive emotions, honestly.
Well, I mean, I know for me the word struggle has a negative connotation.
It does, and it's the a different center. Just giving an opinion, even though, again, the working out, it came very clear to me. And I was work. I don't like running, you know, but I do work out, and I go running, and I can be running, and my mind can be going, "This sucks," or I can, and that's the intellectual center. It doesn't have to be involved at all if I run. And I noticed that a lot of things have a center involved that's giving its opinion and just causing struggle. And if I can let it go, if I can let that center quiet down, it's like two or three centers are gathered together in my name. You know, there am I. And it's like if I'm going to crawl through a pet door, it's a very physical thing. You know, it could be fun, but there's no reason to have anything else involved other than trying to squeeze myself through the door.
Right.
And when I've been able to put all three centers in alignment, it's so easy.
Yes.
There's no struggle. It's just easy. It's like you get this force.
It's right use of centers. That's what I'm hearing you saying.
Exactly.
Right? Each center is being used for the right thing, in the right way, and each part of center, each center. So, yeah, it's often, like we were talking about, it's our thinking about it, about everything that causes the problems. If we just saw reality as it was, there's really no problem anywhere. Reality, as Byron Katie says, is much kinder than our thoughts about it.
I have the struggle also. It's interesting, the struggle when there's... I can't figure this one out, but I'm a great fan of making lists and crossing things off. It's like, it's a different homework. But you know, noticing the things that get put from one list to the other one without ever getting crossed off, and trying to understand what the struggle is there, right? Because some of these are not that hard to do, but it's almost like an I wants to do it, writes it down, and writes all the other things, and it just skips over that item in the list, and then as soon as it even tries to focus on that item, something else goes, nope, don't even go there, stop. And if I try to stay there with it longer, the voice gets louder, nope, you're not going there. And it's interesting because it backs off instantly. The first force just completely gives up.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't figured that out because there's a lot of things that I carry on that I've been carrying on for a while.
Yeah. Well, it definitely is an example of first force, second force, first force, just going back and forth with no third force. So it'd be interesting to see if you could find a third force for that. That would, I mean, just...
Somebody just told me what it is.
Oh, yes? Suzanne, were you giving a comment on that?
Yeah. I hope I can put this into words. So last week, someone quoted Cynthia Brusseau, and I hope I can paraphrase it properly. What I heard was something like the creative power in the triad is in that tension between first and second force in that moment before the reconciling third force. And I realize where I lose a lot of energy is in not wanting to be in that tension, wanting to force a resolution, not being comfortable with conflict, whether it's between me and a family member or a global situation. I lose a lot of energy in being depressed or concerned about global issues, that polarization, you know. And somehow hearing that quotation made me just appreciate these triads that build everything, that are larger than me, that I can't see the big picture. Mm-hmm. I'm reading this book about Ben Franklin and in the war for independence, and everybody's very polarized. There's loyalty to the crown, there's a demand for independence, and you know, looking at it from this remove, you can see something great came out of it. But at the time, people were dying, and it was horrible, you know. And so looking just at, you know, big conflicts, little conflicts, when you're in the middle of it, it's just that painful. And if I can pull back from the pain of the tension and just see the beauty in it. One of my favorite sayings always was something Lily Tomlin used to say, which was, life could be beautiful, but it won't. And, of course, the corollary to that is life is happening the only way it can, right? And if I could just be in that place where, you know, it just doesn't seem beautiful, that tension, mm-hmm. but ultimately it is. I just,
yes.
It's just way bigger than me.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Jill, did you have your hand? Wait a second. There were a couple hands up here first. Did you want up here? And then Greta.
There was something I read in Rebecca Nottingham's book,
yes.
The Work, that talked about self-love being third force in the life triad. And I thought that was so interesting. I'd never heard it put that way. So anytime we're in the life triad, we usually say life is second force, but self-love is what she says. And with what Gay was sharing, I thought, well, I'm of the same type as Gay, and I know I like to do things right, and I want to be good, and I'm, you know, I don't want to cause any conflict, ruffle any feathers, and so... second force to that would be causing a little conflict, ruffling a few feathers, making a mistake, as she said. Mm-hmm. And what I heard her do was not get attached with self-love, which just wants to protect and justify and always look good. And if you're not in that, then grace can come in and you can recognize that whatever happened needed to happen. I don't, like Suzanne was saying, it's a bigger picture. I don't know why, but I just played a role I didn't even know I was playing, and this happened, and it's okay because I'm not trying to protect myself.
Yes.
And so it's freeing if, you know, you can non-identify, like mm-hmm. Gay said, you know, and I heard it in your report too, you know, it just ultimately when we're not identified with how we look, what, you know, it just, everything gets so much simpler.
Yes.
So yeah. That whole self-love thing, it's in everything. And if it's not, then it's God will, good will. It's God love that can take over and let things be the way they are.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Greta?
In the word struggle with or struggle against, I think the word against sets up a dichotomy that doesn't really allow for a third force to come in. Mm-hmm. So if I had to look at struggling against, that's where I would find the difficulty as a work student, because just setting myself up to be hard-headed against something else would provide no room for goodwill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The word struggle, though, I don't have as much of a problem with. I think as a work student, the first years that I was in the work, I struggled a lot. Mm-hmm. I made effort a lot, and that effort was difficult. And sometimes I had to struggle against, and even now, of course, I have to struggle with the eyes of my personality that may want to affect my health negatively, other people's health negatively, whether that be psychological or emotional or physical. But that struggling with still, for me, can be a good thing as long as I do that with the knowledge that there's a potential for growth, for transformation in doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And with those eyes themselves that I may be struggling with, that I don't want to express.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Jacob who struggled with the angel?
Wrestled with the angel. Yeah.
I mean, that is certainly struggling. And struggling with something that is greater than oneself, and struggling with something that is God-sent. And yet, it took the wrestling to become more aware of God's potential on this earth.
Right. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Sorry. Yes. Let's use the other. Yeah, you got the other one.
And I wasn't here last week, mm-hmm. but I think I did the homework anyway.
Mm-hmm. That often happens.
And I just wanted to share it.
Yeah.
I drive for a ride-sharing service, and it was ACL, and so I was hoping to make a certain amount of money that night. And I got to where I just needed to come up with another $13 for my total, and then that was my goal for the day. I could go home. So I was downtown, and I received a rider, an assignment, and the name of the rider was Heaven. And Heaven did not show up on my screen with an image. They hadn't posted their photo or their avatar, so they were a blank slate. And I went to where I was supposed to pick up Heaven, and Heaven wasn't there. I drove around the block looking for heaven, and I didn't find her. So I tried to call. There's a way you can call your rider. I tried to call, and heaven's phone was not available. So I started feeling this second force of not finding her and thinking, I just need the $13. I want to go home. So I finally parked, and I thought, I'm just going to sit here and breathe a few minutes, and surely I'll find heaven. So then I did. I parked. I rolled down the windows, and I hear running feet. And these three people came and jumped in my car. Oh, we're so glad we finally found you. It feels so good to sit down in your car. I said, great, I'm so glad we found each other. And I reached over to press the button that I had found heaven. And the man in the back said, oh, we aren't heaven. We're Chris. So I said, well, sorry. So Chris got out of my car. But because Chris had come in the car and caused me to press the button, I had to cancel my search for heaven. That wasn't available anymore. So my signal was out, and I was given another rider. You won't believe what this writer's name was. Grace. So I'm still in the same block around the Starbucks down on Lamar and sitting waiting for Grace to find me. Grace calls me on the phone. I can't find you. I said, okay, well, I'm right here, and I described the intersection and what the car looked like. She still couldn't find me. I said, well, I have my flashers on. I've got the windows rolled down. Here, let me turn on the interior lights. So I turned on the lights, and Grace found me. She came and got in the car with her friend. I drove them home. And their fare was $13.
Oh my gosh.
Was that the homework?
Well, I did not hear a lot of interior second for it started for you, but then I mean it just things happened in the only way they could. It's kinda like with me this morning. Grace came in literally into your car. The goodness. I mean, it's goodness. So. Anyone else? Okay. Thank you all for sharing. It obviously it's good to really just look at this the way the three forces work, just to be aware of them. For sure. And I'm just going to read just a little bit from, let me see, it's okay, from this commentary. At least I think this was where we were, but I'm not really sure. It's the commentary after the three forces, one on three forces. This is the commentary on 1360 on changing your feeling of I. And actually, I'm going to just read a little bit of the second part here. So now suppose that we are called upon in some strange, mysterious way to push off from the shore, from the solid ground of ourselves, from our habitual selves. If we want to reach a higher level of being, we cannot retain the present being that we have.
This raises the question of what I shall take with me on this strange journey outside myself, beyond my personality and beyond my false personality, in other words, nickel. I can only say to you that many dreams deal with this subject, and they are practically always of the same kind, namely, where you identify and say I. Their general meaning is about what is valuable for me to take with me of what I have learned from life and what is useless. What is useless is false personality, i.e. nickel. This is a stage that everyone must go through slowly and eventually in the work. In other words, discarding the useless and keeping hold of what is good in your experience of life. So I'm going to stop there. So keeping hold of what is good. I don't know, personally I feel like everything that happens in my life is useful in one way or another. I think what he's referring to is, he talks about this later, is false personality. If we can discard the false personality, but can we? I think it's like what Jill was saying about that false personality. Personality becomes passive. In essence, the more real part of us becomes active, more active in our lives, right? So I just was seeing, you know, keeping hold of what is good. And Lori was talking a lot, and we, as the work leaders, had talked about that there's a lot of reporting about the negative eyes in ourselves. And just to see the goodness in it all, right? The goodness of even the work, I mean, the work that we do, it's good. Second force is good. It's useful. My falling down the stairs and breaking my leg can be good, ultimately. It doesn't say to all everything works together for the good, right? So I'd like us to keep working with that, this idea of goodness and goodwill, but using the idea of, or maybe even as a mantra this week, is this, whatever is in front of me, this is for my transformation. Okay, this is for my transformation, no matter what it is. This is a gift from the universe for my transformation. Can you feel the goodness in that? I mean, that this is for my transformation. That means something wants me to transform, or is there supporting my transformation by giving me this thing, which might look absolutely horrible in the moment, but has gold in it, has that nugget of truth, has something in it for me. Everything can give me something every day. Can you imagine if we had the eyes really to see the gifts in every moment, in everything, every person that comes to us? We'd have a different life. But it's all good. It really is all good. It's there's no problem here. It's just our thinking about it and the thoughts we have about it. So the goodness of this is for my transformation, this thing, this event, this thought, this whatever it is for my transformation. Okay, to hold that this week as we look for goodness, as we observe identification. Oh, yes, I'm identified. That means I can work. Yes. Yeah, I know. I wish I could feel that way too in the moment. But this feeling, this burning, this rage or whatever it is that comes up, it's for my healing. It's to come out. It's to come up and move out. It's energy. It's all energy. It's a gift. So,
hold that. That clear? Okay. So we've got quite a bit of time. Is there any questions about work ideas or anything, any other kind of work that you've been doing that you'd like to share? Rachel, was that a hand up? Okay. Can we have this microphone back to Rachel there? We'll use this one now. Thank you. It's on. You don't have to do anything.
So I just want to make sure I understand.
Yeah.
First, second, and third force, because I could. Can I just ask you to clarify, or do you want me to say
I'll
what
try.
I think?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
So first force is assessing what I want and taking action or going for what I want.
Yes.
Second force is maybe internal impediments or voices or peanut galleries or whatever there is going on that might get in the way of me going for that, or external other people's opinions. Is that second
yes.
force?
Yes. Think of it as resistance to your first force.
Okay.
It's a pushback.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then third is goodwill or...
Third force can be, as Jill was alluding to, there's two triads. There's a life triad where life or something related to life is the third force. And then the work triad is if we're in the work, then the work becomes third force. It's a relating force. It's a reconciling force so that a manifestation can take place instead of polarity. And we can see that in the political system right now, right? The amazing polarity there is, you know, where is the third force going to come from? Maybe aliens, I don't know. Outer space. So life is third force. There's no real, there's just life manifestations. So it's the third force that, so if you want something and there's resistance to it, you can either use something in life like, you know, beating someone over the head to get what you want, or yelling, or doing power and control, or something like that. Or you can non-identify. You can use love. You can use goodwill. You can use understanding. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different third forces. There's not only one kind. Just the work is kind of an umbrella term for third force in the work triad. At least that's my minimal understanding of it. Does that make sense at all?
A little bit more.
I think, and what Dr. Nichol suggests is that it's really hard to see third force. So start by just seeing if you can identify first and second force in yourself. Or first and second force in your life. Just start with those two. Those are easier to see.
Yeah, those two I feel like I have a good grasp on. Like logically, and then
yes,
and then you know I'm going through examples in my head of oh yes, okay, I see this, and
yeah.
So third force I'm in,
right.
Intrigued.
Well, if you have the commentaries and the index, you can look up the three forces and read more about it. There's quite a bit written on it.
Okay.
So yeah, Gay.
Well, Cynthia Bergeau's book has, to me, the best explanation I've ever read. And that is, I know what I want, and I can see what's keeping me from getting what I want. So it's not, the outcome of this might not be what I want. Mm-hmm. And she makes a big point of that, for something new to occur out of this. It's not always my getting my what I want.
Yes.
It's usually something of a surprise, something totally different, something on a higher level that is created. Therefore, I can't really know what third force is going to be. I can't predict it. I can't call it down even really. Although I can be open and like Suzanne was saying, to me it's like holding the space for a new solution that I haven't ever yes. thought of before.
Yes.
When those two forces seem to be like impenetrable, like there's no solution.
Mm-hmm.
So I can either push my way through and insist and get my way. I can give in to second force and say, oh, well, you know, I'll just give up on this idea.
Right.
Or I can pray. But it's always something, I think, that comes from something higher that I haven't even thought about before.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And I think both Jenna and Greta gave good examples of non-identification being their third force. At least it felt like that to me. There was second force on the outside, but there was an identification. And with non-identification, it allowed for a whole different manifestation, if you will, to occur. And like you said, it's not being attached to the outcome that gives that space for something new to come in. What if our political parties weren't attached to outcomes? Wow. I mean, you can see why the impasses are what they are. I mean, you really can see it. It's like first, fourth, second, fourth, third, fourth. Yeah. Yes, Frank? Haven't heard from you tonight. We need this one that's all the way over here. Yeah, it's this one here. Thank you.
Frank finds that whenever first and second forces confront him, there's a degree of suffering. Inevitably. Initially, before any kind of solution presents itself, be it a life solution or a work solution. And then the questions that have to come up are work principle questions. Because your emotional center becomes involved inevitably in first, second force collisions. Mm-hmm. And inevitably, there is a propensity to become identified, to be negative. And by resisting those, one spins off into a work-related solution that one could not anticipate. And the suffering is, as it's supposed to be, offered up instead of wallowed in, mm-hmm. which is what Frank does when he gets a life solution. He feels sorry for himself. Mm-hmm. And that is always and it tastes bad.
Right.
And that's one of the tests that this one tries to apply to understand mm-hmm. what's happening here. Where's this guy headed? What are those eyes doing leading the parade? Do they, you know, are they the ones you want to have leading the parade? And the resolution of those events, those internal events, does involve a degree of suffering, at least to this one it does, because it does. I can't define it any clearer than that. It just is natural when first and second forces meet.
Okay, thank you.
Define it any clearer than that. It just is natural when first and second forces meet.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Tamara?
I was reading some of the commentaries yesterday, I think, but it was interesting to me. It was really interesting. Dr. Nichol talks about how we all have second force. We all do. And if we all knew that, we're not unique in that respect, there'd be a lot less suffering. I mean, you'd know that, you know, you're not alone. We all have suffering. We all have second force coming into our life, and that's part of our transformation. But the thing is, people think it's only them that has the second force.
Yeah. Well, the suffering.
Yeah.
Form of second force.
The suffering form. You're right, exactly, because it's not always suffering. Sorry, I didn't mean to put it that way. But yeah, we all have second force coming into our lives, so we feel sorry for ourselves when these second forces come in, and instead to look at it a different way and realize we're not unique in that respect.
No, not at all. Right, thank you. We need second force. We have to have second force. I mean, you think about it just in terms of lifting weights, right? The muscles get stronger when you lift weights. So what's getting stronger when we get second force in our lives? We're growing. That's how we grow psychologically when we learn. It's for our transformation. It's for our transformation. So don't think of second force as negative. I really think that's a wrong picture of it, okay? It doesn't have to be. It's just the force of resistance. You could think of it as a negating, I suppose, but still, that the word is, yeah. It's just resistance. It's resistance so that you can get stronger. Your first force can become clearer, or to know that, oh no, it's time to become second force, or to bring in to leave space for third force, or it's just we need it. So
how interesting it would be if we all knew that, you know. To me, I think that's just so fascinating, because until the work, I, you know, whenever I had second force, I just thought, woe is me, you know.
Oh, right. Why is this happening to me?
Yeah, it only happens to me. Yeah.
Yes, right.
So that's my point. I mean, it's like, you know, it's, and when you learn that second force is important and you're not the only one, right. We're all getting second force.
Right. It takes a while to see it in a different way. And it's a journey, and you know, you start by seeing small pieces of second force, like they had examples of, as nothing big. But you know, when the big things come along, it takes a while to see the good comes out of it. You know? So, Jill.
Share this experience in movements tonight that I think one thing that keeps us going is when you get the energetic shift, when you can bear the second force. And so we were doing the movement, and so my first force, I want to be able to do this movement, and I want to get it quickly, and I don't want it to be hard. Well, they're always hard. I never get them, and I suck at it, basically. And so that's the second force that comes up. And so then Jack said, so you might want to observe what the eyes are saying right now. And I was like, well, I'll tell you what they're saying. They're saying this is a bunch of bull, you know,
right.
And that's going on inside. And then it's like, we're going to do it one more time. Oh, great. And so it's like, okay, I can work, you know, and just let go. And then I can't say I did it right, but it started getting in my body, and I could now see the pattern. I could, because I felt so clueless the first go round, like I'm just not getting this. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm here tonight, because of the force that was generated from bearing that mm-hmm. miserable experience, and because I wanted to work, not really because I wanted to get it right. I wouldn't be there if it was because I wanted to get it right. But I just had this calm, clear energy since then all evening. And I was up till midnight last night. I worked a long day. There's Astros are playing right now. And I wanted to be here. And that's the transformation of the energies that wanted to get
yes.
And bearing them and saying, I will work. I can yes. work. I must work. And then you get that taste for, okay, this is just the way it is.
Thank you. Thank you. Great testimonial for movements. Okay. Well, thank you all. Thank you all for a lively evening here. Okay. So let's come back to our breath in our bodies. Again, remembering and being grateful for the amazing gifts we've been given in whatever form they come in our lives. And let's affirm together that God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
In this awareness of all the grace and abundance that surround us, we dedicate these tithes and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and on our planet over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from fear. In Christ we pray. Amen. And I just want to end by reading this. This is from Ilya Delio's newsletter. I saw this and I don't know. Eat and drink my body that began growing since the big birth some 14 billion years ago. Unwinding dramatic story shining now in me as all-embracing and self-giving love. I breathe in you my spirit, enticing you to participate in this creative blooming of forms, of meanings, connections, and imagination. Listen to the cosmic prayer of every being, no one excluded, wounded, or unheard. Impossible liberation from your egos, but possible and free transformation for me. So may we experience the goodness that all is for our transformation. May it be so. Amen.